This is a generation that is easily offended. Now, I know we all will confess and profess that we know the definition of a word or words. And basically, they are according to our vernacular. You teach a man that is unlearned a certain thing, his vocabulary is based upon certain words, then he defines everything according to that limitation of the words that he knows. It has nothing to do with the validity of that word. It's based upon a certain feeling and his own attitude as to how he derives to a certain definition or a meaning of a word. We can ask us the meaning of certain words, and we all will have our own meanings. We are certain of our opinions that it is right. And we will defend that. Now, we will not defend truth. We will not defend truth. You will defend traditions and emotions and feelings. What things I learned as a child, no good today. Because even as a child, as you learn those things, they did not bring about significant strength or any anointing for you to walk properly as a child in the natural and even in the spiritual realm. You were a spiritual babe, and yet the things that you have learned, they have not brought you to any maturity. That's the way this religious world is. You don't find much spiritual maturity. When a person is mature, they know, as quote the old preachers would say, they know how to walk the walk. And they know how to talk the talk. They know exactly what to do. Such a generation as we live in is one that disregards, has no honor for any ecclesiastical orders. They defy every ritual and law that is righteous to maintain their own fleshly status quo. That is to do what they want, what they are willing, what they desire. But it has nothing to do with doing the will of the Father. That's why many today are not being sustained. They can endure the pressures. There's no ability to thwart off the enemies of darkness, because they have no spiritual anointing and no power. And the reason why? Because they have shunned the word of faith. They will not receive truth. There's a generation that is inbred in traditions. You have the black folks do things their ways. You have the white folks do things their way. And there's only one way. So we have truth, light, and life. And when men are offended at statements, there's a reason why they're offended. When a man is offended, it brings about a certain spirit that develops in a person's heart. I've seen that. I've watched it firsthand. And I know the results of that kind of a spirit. I know what it does. I know the intent. I know the purpose. And I know the orchestrator of that spirit and the purpose of the one that orchestrates or directs one in that spirit. And this is a generation today that is always offended. Now, in the physical sense, I do not need to instruct any of you all in the natural realm how to walk. You understand taking one foot and placing it before the other. And then you develop a certain stride. And in that stride, there's assurance. You know that you're not going to fall. You know that there's balance there. And so you can walk that walk. When it comes to the spiritual walk, there's a certain way that we ought to and we must walk in order to enter into the gates of Zion, before the presence of Almighty Yahweh, that there will be a worship that is clean and pure, without any reservation of the flesh, of culture, of the mind, but it will be one that is orchestrated by Him. I believe He knows how to instruct us in the pure walk, the pure talk, the pure language, pure revelation, pure understanding, pure counsel, because it is all generated, it comes by Him. And He is a Spirit. Those that are led or walk in the Spirit, only those, are the sons of Yahweh. And we find this offense today because many are offended. When a man, a woman, is offended, they tend to allow stumbling blocks to impede them. Now the first stumbling block is their pride, their arrogance, their haughtiness, their rebelliousness and disobedience. You will speak a word that is not conducive, that is not satisfying to them, and then they are offended. Their minds are disturbed behind that. They allow a law of their natural will. That is what it is. It's not the will of the Father. For that will gives a man substantial meat and strength to press and to finish. And very few possess that essential today. We don't have that willingness and that heart to press. Men are offended because of pure speech, correction, His judgment upon you, His chastising, Him correcting you. They are offended. And if you want to see an example of that, watch your sons and your daughters as they are offended. And once the offense is set in motion, it causes a stumbling block. An impediment is developed in the ability to think, to receive, to acknowledge, to reason, to know what is right to do. And then there is a spirit that begins to overtake them, and that is the spirit of folly, mocking. And from that you will find that there is a betrayal of brethren and sisters, the body, the faith. And there is substantial scripture evidence to show us that that is the byproduct when a man is offended. The scriptures tells us that when a brother is offended, when you offend a brother, it is harder to win that brother than to break into a castle with bars upon the windows. And so when one is offended, they began to establish impediments. They allow certain laws of their flesh to reign. And they began to dispose of the laws of Yahweh. To love one another. To forgive one another. To receive one another. To pray one for the other. And they began to allow this law of the flesh that is corrupt, it is very vile and unclean, and it has its principles steeped in the rudiments of the world. It's very worldly, very carnal, very natural. It has no spiritual guidance at all. It is guided or led by a man's own personal perception, his feelings, and his emotions. Now, what I want to do before I do anything is, first of all, establish the definition of what offended is. And an offense to our brethren and our sisters. We are people that we're very careless. I believe what Messiah said, that we should live by every, not some. For the counsel of Yahweh is sure. I do not believe that this mighty Yahweh began to speak unto a natural man, and that every word that he spoke unto man was not of the same significant and equal value. Because when he speaks, even the heavens stand still. The mountains bow down. Who are you going to compare him with? Or what do we compare him with? Can you measure the waters in the hollow of his hands? Do you know the weight of the mountains or the balance of the hills upon the earth? So what do we compare him with? And who do we compare him with? Well, we compare him to our little insignificant mind. We bring him down to a level that he has developed in our thoughts. He is made by our emotions and our feelings. We create in ourselves a God. We make our God. It is not the very image of Yahweh. For he was made in flesh, that we may know and understand this image of the Father. That he came in a power that defied every law and every restraint of the flesh. Now, if that is the same power dwelling in us, he is the Spirit, then why is it that the law of the flesh and the law of the will of a man's mind supersedes the laws of Almighty Yahweh? When he tells us to do things and commands us to do what is right, and we do that which is diametrically opposed to what he says, then who are we being led by? If he says do and we don't, then who are we being led by? And he has not stumbled at all. And everything that he has said and commanded, he is very precise. He did not leave us in wonderment or to wander, but he gave us a sure word of prophecy. And that is through his Son to be made flesh. That is the sure word of prophecy. Yahweh has committed that in the hearts of faithful men, that they may speak and proclaim his truth without fear of man, of the consequences of what things will befall him. Men today are fearful of things that will befall them, and they will not speak the truth with purity of purpose and motive. They speak it for the satisfaction of the hearers, and that their ears may be tickled or pleased. Has nothing to do with a righteous law operating in their souls. There has to be a righteous law. There cannot be two laws working in the spirit, for the spirit of man is always willing, and the flesh is always opposing. There must be a overthrowing, an overthrowing, or one being brought under the subjection of the other. And most of the times it is the flesh superseding the will of the spiritual laws. And that is because we have cast him out of our hearts, our thoughts, and our minds. We give ourselves over unto sensual and carnal pleasures that produce nothing at all but death. I want to establish the definition of offended. And this is a generation that is very easily offended. It says to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way upon which another may trip and fall. That is the metaphoric meaning of that. To entice to sin. It is to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one in whom he ought to trust and obey. to cause to fall away, to be offended in one, to see in another what I disapprove of and what hinders me from acknowledging his authority. To cause one to judge unfavorably or unjustly of another. Now that is the definition of being offended. When a man is offended, he begins to reject any authority. They began to develop this distrust and their judgment against that one that they have been offended by. Then that judgment becomes very corrupt and vile. He's going to touch you in the inward parts of your soul today. Whether you will hear or forbear, it makes no difference at all. For he is speaking specifically in this hour to his house. He does not intend for the corrupt ones to hear what he is saying. And so when one is offended, then they began to judge very erroneously and very corruptly. And that opens up the door to a very vile, insidious, corrupt law that begins to permeate or to build or to spread throughout their body. You can sense it in their physical response, their expression, their attitudes. There is a law that we must obey, and that is the law of Yahweh. Has nothing to do with us and me. It all has to do with him. And so when one is offended, they began to judge erroneously. Began to judge falsely. They began to dishonor those or that one whereby the offense came by. So if a man speaks to one and they are offended by that, then their judgment and perception begins to change. They began to see that one in a different light. He is not the one that showed them the principles of the alphabet. He's not the one that taught them the principles of numerics. And so all those things are cast away. The works, the labor, it is all taken for naught because I am offended. And there develops a distrust and a disloyalty. There's no trust. There's no confidence in what one says after that because you are offended. And it begins to cause impediments. Little things you began to develop in your spirit. Little things you began to allow to enter in. Your anger and your hatreds, your corrupt judgment, your despising, your polluted ways, you allowed them to enter in. You began to give them strength to develop and to grow into strong towers, strong pillars of strength. And when you want to do that which is right, they cause you to stumble and you fall. You fall into sin and perdition because you have allowed that offense to bring about a distrust and a disloyalty. You began to speak not according to the scriptures. You began to speak according to your own natural physical feelings. And it creates this great gulf, the stumbling block, that you fall into sin. And you are enticed by your own construed mind to fall into sin. Have you dealt with that, preacher? I have seen that in this assembly in a great way. Especially in the end time, you will see that multiply. And the spirit of that, it will be amplified more than anything. For men are not willing to do what Yahweh commands them to do. They're only willing to do the things that they perceive that are right and that are pleasing unto them. The scripture says in John chapter 6, verse 57, as he began to express unto the apostles, he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. You began to do that, then I dwelleth in you, and you will dwell in me. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, his strength, his life, was not of his own natural ability. But he had a law that was spiritual that quickened him to live by the Father. We understand that the world says, I live by the codes of the streets. I live by the law of the jungle. He said, I live by, or that is my sufficiency of strength, is that what the Father instructs and speaks unto me, I live by that. That's my life. And that is the power of the life of the saints today. And that is the life of the word of faith. Nothing else. Anything else will bring death. Anything else will cause you to fall and to stumble. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. He said, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can bear that? Who can receive that? Isn't that the law of the flesh? We perceive things that are not according to what we take pleasure in. It becomes a hard thing for us. It's not a thing of pleasure. And so as he spoke these words of life unto them, they began to murmur and speak. This is a hard saying. Who can hear this? How can I receive this? How can I live by this? It is difficult. It is not in my ability to do that. Messiah said that the Father was the life in him, or he lived by the life of the Father. We must live by the same life of Yeshua. We can't live by the life of our flesh because it generates all kinds of corrupt things. Our minds, our feelings, our emotions. And that's why there's a great offense in the body today. That's why men are stumbling. And they're falling into sin and perdition. For they're very easily offended. It doesn't take much to offend today. An action, a word, a correction, an instruction. Men today are offended. And it causes us to despise the one that tells us of those things that are literally causing us to stumble, causing us to miss the boat, that we may go on into that perfect place of perfection to see the glory of Almighty Yahweh. And that is what Messiah was feeding them, his body. By eating this, then you will have sufficient. You will not be offended. You will have the strength that it takes to endure every kind of affliction, persecution, and opposition from darkness, from our dark thoughts, from our dark deeds, from our insidious ways that pertain unto our own lusts and cares about us, me, myself, and minds. And so what he was trying to do is to break that bondage and that shackle. The man would not be offended at what he said, what he commanded them to do, what he instructed them to do, that they would take pleasure in that. Now this generation, you see the offense magnified in a great way. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? But Yahshua knew in himself that his disciples murmured, as it he said unto them, doth this offend you? Has this become an offense, a stumbling block? That you began to search in your own natural minds for remedy or way? And so the first spirit, because they were offended, they began to murmur. But what is offended? They will seek out what a man is murmuring. He doesn't murmur to himself. They began to speak unto each other in their whispering voices. Thinking no one perceived, but he knew within himself, they murmured. He knew what they were doing. And so he spoke, is this your stumbling block? Is this going to cause you to judge me disfavorably? Is this going to cause you to distrust me? You've seen the mighty miracles. You've seen the dead raised. You've seen the works of the hands of Almighty Yahweh. Does this offend you? You've heard the words that I have spoken, even in the synagogue of Capernaum. And yet this offends you because I say, you must first of all eat my flesh and drink my blood. You must do this in order for that life of me to dwell in you. Now that life of Messiah is one that we are able to overcome sin. The afflictions, the trials, and the suffering of this life, they are small things in comparison to the eternal glory that we shall receive when we see him. So are you offended by this, is what he said. Does this annul my authority as being the son of Yahweh? Does this remove the splendor of the mighty works that he has shown unto you? That he has wrought in your presence? You have gone out and spirits cried out. You laid hand on the sick and they were healed. You saw the fruit of the labor. Are you offended at that? Does that cause your mind or allow your spirit to open up to every kind of unclean thing? An example to us all. A husband or a wife offends one. Their minds began to draw on things that are the by and bys. They began to open up their thoughts to every kind of insidious, vile thing. Even to lash out. To think disfavorably of their spouse. To think of things that are unapprovable by Almighty Yahweh. Their minds began to think of things that are so devilish. That are so wicked. That are so vile. And all of a sudden they find themselves without any restraint to resist that. Because of the offense. Caused them to stumble. They cannot pray. They cannot say, forgive me, Yahweh, cleanse me. They cannot say, I am wrong. I have wronged this circumstance. They began to concentrate on one thing, and that is the personal one that is offended. But this trust began to multiply. It began to grow. And as much as it grows, it causes those impediments or those things that will cause you to fall to increase in strength and power. That you give more credence unto those things than you literally do the word of faith. Are you offended? He said. Well, the sure sign that you are offended, you began to murmur. You began to speak like you ought not to. You should have fallen on your faces to know that what I've spoken unto you, it is a word of strength and power. And what he speaks unto us is the sure word of strength. That is why Satan is causing all he can to be offended at the truth today. At Yahweh's spirit. There are seven spirits of Yahweh. One of counsel. One of judgment. One of the fear of Yahweh. One of knowledge. One of understanding. And they are all vivid and alive. And they are real in him. He said, doth this offend you? He said, what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he once was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Every word that he spoke unto them, they were spiritual. And they had the power to impart life into a man. Men today are full of death. Full of dead men bones as whited sepulchres, as the Pharisees and the scribes. They have religious plasteries on their arms. And they're their own natural laws and their traditional laws and their carnal laws. But they're not the laws of Yahweh. Has nothing to do with his counsel or his truth. They're their laws. And they abide by their laws and not Almighty Yahweh's laws. The flesh profiteth nothing. It has no value at all. It is the spirit that quickeneth. It brings alive. It makes one live unto the faith. It is the spirit that quickeneth. And the words that Messiah spoke, they were spiritual words. And they were words of life because Yahweh is life. And the words were made flesh, dwelt among men, that they may see the power of life in man. And that power was simply, 3 days, he was in the belly of the earth. And on the third day, he got up with all power in his hand. And he proved it unto that generation that they may know, that they may not be offended. They will have no stumbling blocks or impediments to prevent them from going on into the excellency of the anointing. There is no excellency of his anointing. The scripture tells us about Joseph. He had an excellent oil and an excellent anointing upon him. That he was faithful in all things. He was obedient in all things. This is a faithless generation. It is not a generation that is faithful because it is easily offended. And when it is offended easily, it brings forth a spirit of betrayal. He say, are you offended at this? Why would you be offended? But there are some of you that believe not. For Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He knew exactly from the beginning those that believed. He knew exactly who would betray him. And the one that betrayed him, he was offended. When a man betrays Messiah, is because he's offended at what he has said, what he has commanded unto him. He begins to judge him with a judgment that is so vile, so unclean. It has been imparted into that man's heart by the stumbling blocks of darkness. He can't see his dark ways. He can't see the dark constitution of his mind. He can't see the dark sayings of his mind, his feelings and his emotions. He can't see those things. And so when Messiah speak toward that, against it, he's offended. I don't believe that God would say that or do that. They did not believe that Yahshua would say that. And he simply said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. You must do that. You must take all of me. You can't take partial pieces of me, but you must take me in the entirety of whom I am and whom I declare that I am. And I declare myself to be the sword of Yahweh. Are you offended at that? Does that offend you? Are you upset with that? And the sure sign that we are, we began to murmur. We began to speak ill-advisedly against the one that commanded. The one that gave them authority. The one that gave them life and breath. We began to speak against that. It is the hearing of the words of faith that causes the breath and the life of Yahweh to fill our inward parts. You cannot segregate yourself from the hearing. For he has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He has not changed that. He will not change that. By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That is his mechanism. That is what he has chosen. Traditions and our fleshly ways, because we were offended. We were offended by his sayings that we tried to constitute some other way. And it caused impediments to fill their lives. They began to stumble into every kind of sin, vile thing there is. There is no spiritual restraint. There's no law to control them. They give it over unto every vile, unclean spirit there is. And it rules in their minds that they reject, they distrust Almighty Yahweh. And to say that you have not experienced that, it is erroneous. It is a deceitful lie of your own heart. For you are offended of him. You don't judge him righteously. You judge him with a screwed up type of a mentality. And it certainly isn't pure at all. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father. He said, I understand why you are offended. Because except a man is given unto me by the Father, you cannot even come to the light. Religious orders draw them in by the millions. But unless you're given by the Father, you cannot even come unto the light and the knowledge of truth. You will walk in a religious stupor. When a man comes unto the knowledge of the light and the truth, he's free. He's free. He continues in that way. He's free from the law of sin, from the law of death. He's a man that's free and he can walk in the liberty of the Spirit. Why? Because he is led. Yahweh is a spirit, and he leads a man to the paths of righteousness. And he's not offended at what the Father says. This is a generation that is offended. And there is a reason why. We think we know, but Scripture is precise as to why we are offended. We think we know what we think we know, and we don't even know what we think we know. And that's the truth. These apostles, Peter say, though all men be offended by you. He say, not I. And yet he was offended. For Messiah said, before the cock crow, you're going to be offended. And you're going to betray me. You're going to deny me thrice. To the point that Peter began to speak words of cursing. To say that Messiah was a cursed thing. A man can even speak against Yahweh the Son. And there is the forgiveness.
What about blaspheme the anointing? There is no forgiveness. I don't understand the depth of that. I don't want to understand that. For when a man understands a thing, he will try that thing. He will literally see if it is actually applicable. And so Peter began literally to curse the very one that came to break the shackles of curses. To break the bondages of curse. He began to literally curse, as the damsel said, "Your language betray you." You're just like him. Peter was offended. And his judgment against Messiah was construed. It was perverted. That Peter desired to save his own soul. His life, his natural life. And you're not going to save that at all. Not one bit at all. John chapter 16, verse 1. As he began Messiah to warn the people, his disciples, against the persecution that will come upon those that declare his name, that speak in his name, and that follow him. "These things," he said, "have I spoken unto you. I've given you knowledge and revelation that ye should not be offended." He said, you should not. You ought not to be offended. We ought not to be offended to be corrected, to be instructed. We ought not to be offended for our ways to change and our attitudes to change and our personalities to change, to reflect the life that is in you. Our lives cannot reflect any ethnicity, any racial preferences. It must reflect him. I cannot reflect a black man, no more than you can reflect a Caucasian woman. We must reflect the life that is in us. And that it is a sure sign from the kingdom above that Yahweh dwells in our souls. So that is what we must reflect. And when a man reflects that, light is one. As you look out of the expanse of the day, can you differentiate the light from light? It is all the same. It's light. It's light. You may go under the trees and find a shadow there. And that's sometimes how our lives are. The shadows. And ought to be filled with life. So he began to speak a word unto them. And he is speaking unto the house today one way, and that is by his Spirit. That's why he commands us, "He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. I've spoken these things unto you, that you will not be offended, that you will not turn face on me. You will not seek some other alternative. Don't be offended. Don't allow these things to cause you to stumble. Don't allow words to cause you to stumble. Don't allow your emotions to cause you to stumble. Don't allow frictions to cause you to stumble. I bring it down to a very personal level. It is nowhere more persistent and of great strength than with the relationship between a husband and a wife. If you've never seen yourself stumble, your judgment toward her to become thwarted or screwed up, or your judgment toward him because of an offense, as small as the nature of the thing was, you were offended by that. Why did he allow that to come? To show you there's work and room at the cross. That there must be a purging and a cleansing and a destroying of the flesh. All flesh must be destroyed. It cannot rise up. The will of the flesh cannot rise up against Almighty Yahweh. It cannot rise up against his laws. And he allows that, as he said to them, "Drink my blood and eat my flesh." They thought it was a horrible thing. It was unfitting. But it was most fitting. And what he speaks to us today is most fitting, saints. It's not a horrible thing, but it is most fitting. it is most fitting. He spoke these words that they should not be offended. He said, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you think that he doeth Yahweh service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. He said, when you find men doing that, it's because they don't know the Father. They've never known Him, and they don't know me. We as a people in the body of Almighty Yahweh, to be offended so easily or to do one another wrong, you don't know the Father, and you certainly do not know Messiah, for that is one body. One body. And the body is one. And we, with our own stumbling blocks, we think that personally, you are more nicer than anyone. You are kinder than anyone. You are sweeter than anyone. And when you begin to think that you are more corrupt than anyone, watch men as they would say, doing this to take care of the people of Yahweh. No. It was for their own exploitation to lift themselves up, to make them look fine and dandy. But it wasn't so. Yahweh takes care of His people. And He doesn't need money to do that. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, I have warned you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. He stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. He said, I want you to remember what I told you. He wants us to remember what we have heard and where we have heard it from. And the vessel, is it one that represent that truth or that law that they speak or that they preach? Has to be that way. Has to. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning. He said, at the beginning I didn't tell you these things. At the beginning of this walk He didn't tell you these things. Because He knew you were childish. He knew that we were immature. He knew we didn't have the readiness. We were not prepared. So in the beginning He did not tell you these things. Because I was with you. I could take care of you. I could watch you. I could save Peter, John, Bartholomew. That is not the appropriate thing. But now I'm about to go away. And so now I'm telling you these things. That there must be a law in your soul that will preserve you. And keep you. And show you and guard you. And that law is the Spirit of your way. For He is a Spirit. He is a Spirit. He said, but now I go my way to Him that sent me. And none of you ask me whether I goeth thou. He's telling them that I'm leaving. And they did not even ask Him, where are you going? Why? Why? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Because I told you that there are afflictions and persecution. Because you will be offended. Now sorrow has filled your hearts. You don't even ask. You haven't said, Messiah, where are you going? But what do you mean you're leaving? Because of your own sorrows, you sorrow not for me. They did not sorrow for Him. For they left Him. They deserted Him because they were offended at Him. And the judgment toward Him was stirred up. It was a wrong judgment. And that is what offense brings. It brings betrayal of brethren in the house of faith. You will betray one another. You will deny one another. You will cast yourself away from one another. Did not Satan do that? He was offended at Almighty Yahweh, and he betrayed him. He told him it was his own wisdom that had corrupted him. It was his own beauty that brought about that corrupt matter in him. And that it is today as well. It is a man's own wisdom that exalts him above the levels of his brothers or his sisters. It is a sister's own beauty or own charm that gives her a sense of separatism, of segregation. Your own pride. And that should not be, saints. Are we offended because we must suffer for him? Are we offended because we will not... we are not given over unto the appetite of the world? Are you offended to do the things that he asks and commands us to do because the world says no and the world goes another way? Are you offended? When you are offended, you deny him in your prayers, in your attitude, in your walk, in your personal life. You will deny him. You will resist what he commands you to do. What? Drink the blood and eat the flesh. And because we are offended, we say that it is of no significance. It has no value unto me. It has no value at all. And there is where the richness of life is, because we must take every word that he speaks unto us. And we must live by those words, for that is the power of our bread. That is the life source of our being. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word is him. And we must eat him. The fathers of Israel, they ate the manna that came down from the kingdom. But they all died. We eat this bread, we shall never die. But a man truly eats this bread, that the power of that life in his mind, his spirit, it doesn't die. When sin comes to corrupt it, it doesn't die. Our minds go dead. Spiritually dead. Naturally dead. When we are offended, we die. We die. Our spiritual light of excellency doesn't shine. And so it is a natural man that rises up and exalts himself. Why? Because he is offended. We're going to have to suffer for his name's sake, to make sure his name is glorified. Has nothing to do with your name or my name, but his name being glorified. That is what he wants above all things. And he wants his name to be glorified and to be made known. The life that is in us is in the mighty name. Mark chapter 4. Help us, O Yahweh. We need thine help. Help us, O Yahweh, the hope of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Listen to what Messiah said. And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside. They're doing their own thing by the wayside. They're by their own way. They're doing their own way. They're walking their own way. What way? There's a way that seemeth right unto man. All the ways of a man are pure in his own sight. These are those by the wayside. They're walking in their own way. They're walking their own logics, their own interpretation, their own emotions and their own feelings. And we find a lot of wayside folks today. They're by the wayside. They're not in the way, but by the wayside. He said, these are they by the wayside. Where the word is sown, it is literally sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. He robs them of the word, or the sowing process that will bring forth life and fruits that he may bear, bring forth fruit. He said immediately. They began to reason in their own minds. They began to question things. They began to ask a reason. Your sure is the reason of the hope. Is the faith in us in him. Is every reason of any hope that you need to ask any question. The word was sown by the wayside. And so Satan, because their minds are by the way that they desire to walk in, their ways, my way of a highway, my way or no way. He said that the word was sown and Satan comes immediately and he takes it out of their hearts because it was sown there. He said, and these are they which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Now this is the stony heart. Hear this. You receive it with gladness. The heart anons, it rejoiceth. And have no roots. What is the root of love? That is the root. Love. It is not impartial. It is not of hypocrisy. It is not chosen. That does not prefer. He said, because they have no root in them, in themselves. And so endureth but for a time, just a little moment. Afterwards, what a little affliction. A persecution arises for the word's sake, because of the word of Yahweh. Immediately they are offended. Immediately they are offended. You find those with stony hearts. When there's a little opposition, when there is a persecution that arises for the sake of the word. And it may bring us into the perfect knowledge of his truth. He said immediately they are offended for the sake of the word. They get upset, they're offended, and they began to judge the speaker, they began to judge Yahweh, and yet there is no judgment unto themselves. You don't have to love me, and you don't have to appreciate me. I said to Brother Nee Smith this morning, I didn't have nothing to preach. As we talked, he said, you'll have something. Yahweh is the way maker. Has nothing to do with a man. It has to do with this word of truth and life. He said the hearts that are stony, they are the ones that for the sake of the word, when there is some opposition, immediately they are offended. They become very hostile. They become incessant in their anger. That's what the word of faith says. We must begin to allow the word to plow this ground, this heart of ours. It's got to cut deep, saints. For that thing is a very deceitful thing. It's very desperately wicked. That's why he must give pastors after his own hearts. And they will feed us with knowledge and with understanding. He must. If he doesn't do that, then we all are hell-bent. And we're going to be lost, saints. He said, you want to know why they are offended? Because the hearts are stony. The ground of their heart or that love is not a sure love. It has partiality. It has respect of person. That is not Yahweh. He does not dishonor a sinful wicked man no more than he dishonor a wicked man. Why? Because his judgment is right upon the wicked. And it is upon the righteous. The wicked man will receive his just recompense. So the righteous man receive his just recompense. And that's love. That's righteous love. That is what it is. He said, because your heart is so stony. There's a stoniness there. And you hear this word of faith. And you say, I don't like that portion of it. I don't like that. He said, immediately because of the trials and the persecution for the word's sake. What? Well, there may be those that hate you or despise you. They may turn against you and rend you. He said, because of the words that you offended. And you will say, well, I don't think that he meant that. I don't believe I have to go that way. I don't believe it takes all that. I don't think he requires us to do that. Do you not understand that he is an austere master? He reapeth where he soweth not. He picketh up where he layeth down not. He's an austere. That is his character. He can be austere. Who's going to judge him? Who are you going to compare him with? Do you know how much water is in the hollow of his hands? Can you measure that? Do you know the weight of the mountains? Do you know the balance of the hills on the earth that Yahweh has put here? So who's going to counsel him? He said, because the hearts are stony. When we are offended saints, we need to search our hearts. Amen. And to see if our hearts are stony. Amen. We need to go down in our own hearts and begin to eradicate and to take out everything that causes us to stumble. And we do that having, beloved, these premises of Yahweh. We began to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of Yahweh. That is what we began to do. You began to cleanse yourself.